help. I need somebody to look up Jeremiah 33:3. I know y'all know that scripture. Is it up there? Well, I don't know if I got them. Oh, you did get them. Oh, good. See, I did it right. I did it good. All right, I want to talk to y'all tonight about the different kinds of prayer. How many know? Oh, this is a good question for Justin. So, Justin, when you play sports, do you play basketball with the same rules that you play with football? Do you play the same rules when you play golf? Do you play the same rules with baseball as baseball? You play different rules, right? With different rules. Different sports require different rules and, or I should say, regulations or things that help you play well, right? You don't sit down and play a chess game with checker rules, right? There's specific things that help you win the game, right? That will produce a desired end result, right? They're all sports, right? They're all sports, but they each require their own set of rules and regulations. So I think in the body of Christ, and you know, Dad Hagen taught us so well in this area on prayer, but a lot of people have not been really taught that prayer has, there are different kinds of prayer. There's not just one kind of prayer. Have y'all been taught this at all? Y'all? Yes. And so I wanted to touch on this, and I'm just going to skim a little bit on this because this is a huge subject, and there's so much that can be covered, and maybe Pastor Steve will jump on my bandwagon here and take off because each one of these can be broken down into specific things, and we can talk about it more, but in light of our limited time. So I'm just going to talk about it just briefly and just give you the basics on it. But Jeremiah 33:3, we know this scripture. It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So the foundational truth that I want to give you tonight is all prayer is not the same. There are different kinds of prayer and there are different ways to pray. And Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always, do I have it up there? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And one translation says, praying always with all kinds of prayer. Or one translation says, all manner of prayer. All kinds of prayer. There's different kinds of prayer, not just one kind of prayer. Different needs give us a need for different kinds of prayer. Our different needs in our life require different kinds of prayer. I'll say it like that. So there are, let me touch on this first. There are conditions for answered prayer. How many have been frustrated sometimes when you've lifted up prayers and you're not seeing the answer? Every one of us could lift our hands. Every one of us, right? So there are some conditions, and I'm just going to skim over those. John 15:7 says, I don't know if this is in my notes. I might have added this later. If you abide in me, what is it? And my words abide in you, then what is it? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So one of the first requirements or the conditions for answered prayer is what? Abiding. If you're abiding in me, my words abide in you. Why is it important that we abide and that he abides in us? So that we know what the word says, right? We know what the word says about our situation. So we know how to pray. We're not walking in something blindly. We're not trying to figure out what the will of God is. But we know what the will of God is. We're assured of the will of God. So when we're facing circumstances and situations that are difficult, we don't sway off of what we know because we know what the word says. The conditions don't make us look around and go, wait a minute, God, I thought you were a good, faithful father, but why am I not seeing the answers to my prayers? We have to know what the word of God says. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So we have to know what the word of God says about our circumstances and situation so that our faith can get hooked up to it. And then the faith of God that's on the inside of us will help us catapult forward because we know what God said. And we can say, wait a minute, I know what you said in the word. This is what you said. For instance, healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says that we were healed. If we were healed, then I am healed by his stripes. Amen. Provision, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Direction, Proverbs 3:5 and 6. What is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. That's just three areas. But when I know what the word of God says about it, then when I go into prayer, I can take it to him and say, this is what your word says. This is how I can present this to you. I have evidence. Evidence. So faith is the title deed to what we are believing God for, right? It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. That evidence is the title deed. We have a title deed to that truck. Somebody gave it to us. We have a title deed to that Jeep out there. And it belongs to us. I don't have to have somebody convince me about it. I know that I own it because I have a deed to it. And so when you know what the word says about your circumstances, you have a deed. You have a title deed, and you can say, when you present your case to the Lord, you say, God, this is what I'm standing on, right? Does that make sense? Okay, so A, we've got to be abiding in the word, because the word shapes our desires and fuels our faith. When we are in the word of God, you know, I've counseled with people who's frustrated about things, and I'll ask them, well, how much are you in the word? What are you standing on? Well, I don't have a scripture. I don't know. Well, that's the first thing, you know, and I know Emma has said this about me when I've asked, you know, if they come to me about a prayer or need or whatever, well, what are you standing on? And she's always been great. Well, I'm standing on this scripture. This is what I'm believing God for. So that would be my first question is, what scripture are you standing on? What word are you standing on? What are you believing God for? Amen? And then the second thing is walking in love. Unforgiveness disconnects the prayer life. If you are not walking in love, gosh, that's a whole sermon in itself. But we know that faith works by love, and if we're not walking in love, then it's a problem, right? Where's my phone? I wrote some things in my phone along the way, too. I might grab some of those things. I looked up some stuff on, I might have it in here. Are you guys good if I piecemeal this together? Because there are so many things that was coming to me while I was, it's amazing how you can be driving, and the word will just come up in you, and you're, you know, even with kids in the car, you can get a whole bunch of stuff, right? So this is what I was thinking of, the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:1-2. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, have not charity or love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy but not love, I'm nothing. The literal Greek words for sounding brass is, it means a clanging or echoing piece of metal. It means loud but empty, a noise without a message, a sound without substance. So that word tinkling cymbal, and I won't try to say what the Greek word is, but it means clanging, crashing, shrieking, yelling, making harsh noise. So it literally means a crashing, clanging cymbal making an irritating sound. That's what our speaking in tongues is, our prophetic word is, without love. Isn't that interesting? And so this is the cultural background. The Corinthians understood this image well, because in the pagan temples in Corinth, festivals, they would use loud metal instruments, bronze gongs, cymbals, and clappers, and they made constant noise but produced no melody, no harmony, and no message. Now, I experienced a little bit of this in the car on the way here. You know, Shiloh had his tablet, and Honey had her tablet, and Braden had his whatever in the back. And they'll turn those tablets on, and you got the da 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 da, and one other one's going da 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 da, you know, and you got all these noises going on in the car. And then he calls in the middle of it, and then he sits on the front row with this loud object, and I'm just teasing. But you know what? You get what I'm saying. It's like, that's the image of what love, what speaking in tongues or trying to prophesy without love sounds like. Yikes. It's kind of damaging to me, because that's what that noise is for me in the car. It's very damaging. So, okay, so let's skip back over. So it's important that we're walking in love, right? That we're staying in that place of walking. And let me just say this. Sometimes we can think we're walking in love, but the best way to find out if you're walking in love is to ask the closest person near you, am I walking in love? And get ready for the answer, because you may not want the answer that you're getting. You may not like the answer that you're getting. But you might think that you're walking in love, but there might be some redirection that needs to happen. You know, I keep hearing this word alignment. Everything in the world, you know, even the earth, it's on some kind of, you know, thing that God's got it going, you know, and it's aligned a certain way. If it were off, we'd be in trouble, right? There's an alignment. And a lot of people think, well, I just don't like rules. I'm not a rule keeper. I'm not a rule person. Well, I don't like rules either, but there's an alignment that's necessary for us to receive. There's God's part, there's my part, right? So there's an alignment that needs to take place, not a religious rule-keeping thing, but a relational place that we have where we're communing with him, and he's doing his part, and I'm doing my part, and it keeps me in a place of alignment where I can receive from him, I can give to him, and I can receive. So that's where my heart is connected to him that way. That love works in my heart, and I'm able to flow. Does that make sense? So when I'm in alignment with his will and his way, and in the area of prayer, I think a lot of times we think, well, we can just blast out things at God and we can just, you know, I'm just going to come and offer up my petitions, my supplications, and he hears me. Well, there's some specific things. We're going to get into it a little bit more, but it's important that we're walking in love because unforgiveness disconnects our prayer life. And, you know, when there's unforgiveness, it usually means there's offense, and it usually means there's confusion and there's strife. And the word says in James, where there's strife, every evil work abounds. And when there's strife and evil workings abounding, then that causes us to actually be double-minded. It goes to that scripture. Because then we're like, God, I thought this was working this way, and I thought you said this way. And so we just get sort of unbalanced. Does that make sense? And, you know, I did a little word study on that verse where it says that where there's strife, every evil work abounds. That word strife actually means not just socially, but it can mean mentally. You can have mental strife and not even usually if it's mental, you'll be saying something. But if you can have it in your mind. And I was thinking about it today, that the word says that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And if I have strife or some kind of thing going on in my mind towards somebody, I'm not really loving God with my mind. And that means I've got strife going on. And this is not to bring any condemnation. This is just to bring awareness for us to say, you know what, Lord, I repent. I want to turn from my ways because I need to see my prayers answered. So this is going to help you, right? Say, this is going to help me. All right. And then C, asking in the name of Jesus. We pray with the authority that he's given us. So when we go into prayer, we say, Father, in the name of Jesus. There's scripture that talks about that. I'm not going to get into all that right now. So, and real quickly, what are the hindrances of prayer? Does anybody know what hindrances? We talked about unforgiveness, doubt, double-mindedness, ignorance of God's word, wrong motives, fear and worry, and not listening to the Holy Spirit. So we need to be tuned into what he has to say. And I want to encourage you, prayer is not a formula, it's fellowship. We don't want to pray out of a formula. We want to pray in fellowship with him. But the things that I want to give you tonight, these ways to pray are these prayer, you know, we want to pray certain specific ways as Dada Hagen taught us. And, you know, I love what Pastor Steve, he's talked so much about how much his parents have shown him the way to go, how they've been such a there's such a legacy there. There's such an example. And I was thinking about it on the way here, you know, Brother Hagen has been such an example for so many of us, like his parents have been. And I heard this story how when he passed away, someone went into his office. They wanted to see what he had been studying and reading and looking at. Because this man has so much faith, you know, who's he going to glean from? So there was a whole bunch of books on his table that he had been gleaning from E.W. Kenyon. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that E.W. Kenyon has written on prayer that I think would be very valuable. So I'm just going to drop that with you because it would be really good for you to look into it. But prayer should be a fellowship and not a formula. Psalm 27:8 says, your face, Lord, I will seek. This whole scripture says, what is it? You wrote a whole song on it. I will seek your face. You said to seek your face. So, Lord, I will seek your face, right? Is that how it goes? So prayer begins with relationship, not request. It begins with relationship. It begins with communion, worship. Do you know worship is prayer? It's one of the ways of prayer. It's a beautiful way of prayer. And listening, strengthening your spirit. Time in God's presence sharpens spiritual hearing. You know, a lot of times when we go into prayer, we want to just talk. We want to say all the things. And part of prayer is listening. We need to be listening. Now, there are different kinds of prayer. There's personal prayer. And that's when you want to go in and be led by the Spirit and have those times where you're offering up, you know, your petitions and the different things. But then you should have some time where you stop talking and you listen to what he wants to say back. But then there's times with corporate prayer. We don't do it the same as we do when we're in individual prayer. When we're together, there's a purpose, there's an agenda, there's something that we're praying towards. And so we go with the direction that whoever's leading that prayer group, we follow that leader, and whatever direction that leader goes, then we go that way. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit will have somebody else start speaking up, and so we'll go that way. And it's beautiful how he'll orchestrate it in a corporate prayer time, because when hearts are joined that way, you can flow that way. It's a beautiful thing. I love, you know, in our prayer time, we have some prayer here sometimes with our group where we will lift up specific things. You know, Pastor Steve will lead us, and then somebody else will get something, and then we'll flow with that, and then somebody else will get something. And you're learning how to flow with the Holy Ghost that way. It's not just one person leading, and we're just all being quiet. You get what I'm saying? When we pray in the Spirit and for people on Sunday mornings at 9:15, and everyone's welcome to join us at that time, we pray over our service. First of all, we lift up thanks and petition in English. And we do that purposefully because we want to lift up in English thanksgiving unto God. Now, I've found that a lot of people can't do this very long. Do you know what I'm saying? People run out of things to say because we've leaned so much on praying in the Spirit. You know why we lean on that? Because we don't have to think about it. You unhook your brain and you just automatically go into Shola Bogota Berevidia Sabrege Stene. Instead of saying, Father, I thank you that you are so mighty. You are so good. I'm so thankful, Father, for your presence here. I'm thankful for your grace and your mercy. Oh, God, I'm so thankful that you are so awesome in this place, that you're going to do a mighty work in our service today. Father, I just lift you up. I praise you. I give you thanks. And it's about him. It's about him. It's not really about our need. It's about him. We're just focused on him and how good he is. And we lean on our English words by the Spirit. You can tap into the Spirit to have the Holy Spirit tell you what to say in English. Does that make sense? But what it does is you're staying engaged in your mind, and your spirit man is rising up saying something. And so then you interpret it in English. It's almost like a prophetic way of saying some words out loud, if that makes sense. And so it's important that we learn how to do that, because then the word says in Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts. We get beyond with praise. And so there's a place where we can start thanking him for the things for that he's done in our life, right? His goodness, his mercy, his grace. And when we get into that place, then that place leads us to the next place. If you notice in the scripture, you know, I mentioned this in the ladies last week in 2 Chronicles 20 even, when the battle of Jehoshaphat, and they were faced with these armies, these huge armies, what did they do? is they started thanking God for how great he was and how he had been so good to their forefathers and how he had delivered them and blessed them. And, oh, Father, thank you. You've been so faithful to us and you've delivered us and you've redeemed us. And we're so glad that you've been here for us, that you've been on our side, that we can depend on you. You're a faithful Father. And now, look at what we're facing. We present this to you. And, of course, we know the story. The angel came and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they were delivered. But what they did first, though, was they gave thanks. And they reminded themselves of how good God is. You know, it's a good thing to remind yourself how good your God has been. That's I think, you remember that song, count your blessings, name them one by one. You remember that? Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. You guys know this? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. See what God has done. See what God has done. I have had conversations where people have been, count your many problems. Name them one by one. Count your many problems. Name them. See what the devil has done. Praise the devil. Praise him one by one. That's what I feel like singing. I'm serious. When people talk to me sometimes about these people, not any people's here. I'm just saying, this is, and we've all been guilty of this, right? But when we are just regurgitating all the things that have been happening in our life, what are we doing? We're reminding ourselves of how defeated we've allowed the enemy to put us into this chokehold. And right here in the midst of having every answer available to us, as Pastor Steve talked to us on, spoke to us so wonderful on Sunday about the weapons. We've laid our weapons down. We've taken the tool belt off and we've said, forget it. I'm not putting on anything. I'm just going to name my problems. I don't know why I got there, but anyway, what was I talking about? Yeah, I got off course a little bit. Thanksgiving. So it's important. And here we are. We're getting ready to offer up Thanksgiving next week. And it's not just about eating. That's where I was going. But it's so important when we remind ourselves. You know, there's a song we used to sing with RS&B. He'll do it again. You know, he'll do it again. God will do it again. Yes, he will do it again. When we remind ourselves of how faithful he's been and how awesome. It's like Sunday, y'all. The anointing fell on my brother when he was given the offering message. There was such an anointing up here. We were all crying because I know what God has done in his life. We know how God has promoted him. And I'm just going to tell you, he's been the most faithful man I've ever seen in my life. Not just faithful in giving, but faithful in his heart, faithful to serve, faithful in every way. And I was overwhelmed with how good, the goodness of God. It wasn't about my brother. It was about the anointing on his life and how God's given him favor and put him before men. It's just amazing to me. But you know what it is? It's about his heart. His heart has remained right. His heart has remained pure. His heart's been right before the Lord. And then in the process, he's been a huge tither and giver. And God's blessed him in that. And he's shown himself faithful on my brother's behalf. I also believe it has something to do with my mother's prayers and my father going early. I believe he's reaping some benefits of some of the things that God has had in my dad, that it was seed from his life that's been reproduced in my dad's life, or in my brother's life. So praise God. It's important that we're offering Thanksgiving. Okay, so number one, we're going to talk about the different kinds of prayer. The prayer of faith. Y'all know this. Can somebody look up, or can you quote, or do I have it on there, Mark 11:23-24? Yay! For assuredly I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, we should be able to quote this, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So to receive something from God that he has already promised in his word. This is the prayer of faith. This is what we do when we pray over people to be healed. This prayer believes that the moment of asking, it takes God's word as final authority. It speaks to the mountain or the obstacles and speaks the answer, not the problem. And this is what Pastor Steve was talking about on Sunday. So the key elements in this is you must know God's will from the scripture, whether it be healing, provision, wisdom, whatever it is. You believe you receive when you pray, not when it shows up, when you pray. You thank God after you pray instead of repeating the request. So you're thanking him and it's done. Amen? If God said it, faith accepts it immediately. That's the prayer of faith. The second one is the prayer of consecration and dedication. And a lot of people get this mixed up. This is where Jesus in Luke 22:42, he prayed the prayer, not my will, but yours be done. A lot of people think, oh, well, that's the way we should pray. We should pray this about my healing. No, we don't pray that over healing. We pray the prayer of faith because it's in the word and we already know it's been promised to us. 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah, we know that healing belongs to us. We don't have to pray if it be your will. This prayer of consecration and dedication, like Jesus prayed, is to submit your plans and your desires and your decisions to God. That's when we pray the prayer of consecration and dedication. And we can say, Lord, if it be your will, when it has something to do with the plans and the desires and the decisions in your life. Amen? So this is a direction thing. So how it works is you're not claiming a promise, but you're seeking God's will. This is where if it be your will is biblically appropriate. It keeps your heart humble and sensitive to God. So we use it when we're making life decisions about the calling, about ministry, about relationships. It's a season of surrender, and it's setting yourself apart for God's purpose. You can pray specifically, God, I'm giving my life to you. I'm surrendering, and I'm asking you to direct me. And if it be your will, this is what I'm praying for right now. I'm consecrating myself. So there's a total openness to God's direction and a willingness to obey whatever he reveals. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay. So there is a difference. Okay. Then third prayer is the prayer of agreement. Matthew 18:19. If two of you agree touching anything, you guys know that one. The purpose is to combine faith with another believer for a specific purpose or request. Pastor Steve and I used this one many times when we were walking through some things with our son. I would just find out something and I'd say, we need to pray the prayer of agreement. I'd go over and grab his hand and say, let's pray. And we'd pray the prayer of agreement over our son because we knew the direction that he was taking was not the will of God for his life. So we would pray the prayer of agreement. So it's when two people come together in true agreement. The word agreement in the Greek means harmony or unity. So there's a harmony together. Both must be fully aligned in desire. Listen to what I'm saying here. Both must be fully aligned in desire, expectation, and scripture. So when you agree, you pray the prayer of agreement together, you have to be in agreement on those areas. And they stand together until the answer manifests. You don't let up. And the key elements here are there's agreement before praying, not during. Before you pray, you agree. There's unity of heart and faith, and then you're speaking the same thing after you're praying. You have to make sure your words are in alignment. So agreement fails when one person doubts or when the request is vague. You have to know exactly what the word says about your situation. You come together and agree. We do this when we get on a plane. We were talking about this on Sunday. We take hold hands and we say, Father, we just thank you. Your angels have charge of us. They keep us in all of our ways. This plane will stay where it needs to stay, and we come against any resistance in the name of Jesus, and we see ourselves landing right where we need to be in Jesus' name. And we actually had somebody say, thank you for praying. They heard us pray. But that's a prayer of agreement. We were agreeing together. The fourth one is the prayer of supplication. Philippians 4:6. Let your requests be made known unto God. You know that scripture. And the purpose for this one is to bring heartfelt, earnest requests before God. And how this one works is that the prayer that comes from a deep desire or need, it's a humble, sincere, and personal prayer. It often includes fasting, earnestness, or urgency. The key elements in this is it's a specific request, a sincere heart, and a posture of humility. So for an example, this one is like when Hannah prayed for a child in 1 Samuel. You guys know that story. That's when she prayed this prayer of supplication. She supplicated before the Lord for a child. And also the prayer of intercession is connected with this. Ezekiel 22:30, 1 Timothy, I don't have time to look them all up, 1 Timothy 2:1 and Romans 8:26. But the purpose of this one is to stand in the gap for someone. And how this works is you pray on behalf of another person or group or situation. You carry a spiritual burden until breakthrough or release comes. Has anybody ever had this? You just feel a real burden. This is not something you can put on so much. You step into this place. We do this on Sunday mornings. We'll offer up thanks, and then we pray in the Spirit to go the direction the Holy Ghost has us go for our service. We'll have somebody pray out, and then we'll shift gears, and Pastor Steve likes us to just take a minute or two to intercede for those that are coming in so that we're praying for people to be touched by the presence of the Lord. And so we shift gears into that place. And sometimes, not all the times, I've had, how many have ever had the spirit of intercession just really fall on you where you absolutely, you have no control? It's like with groanings, the word talks about, with groanings or moanings that you can't utter. It's like a heavy, this happened to me a couple times, once for my son. I sensed I told the Lord, I don't trust myself, so you're going to have to get it to me if he's in danger. And there was a time I hadn't seen him in a while, and we were actually watching a movie. I think we were in the middle of a movie with Buddy and Sandra, and the spirit of intercession, it can happen wherever you are. It just fell on me, and I just started, like, I just felt this, like, just, ugh, you know, and I started crying, and my husband said, you got to get out of fear. I said, it's not fear. I have to get to Hayden's room. Oh, sorry, I said his name. For a point of contact. So I got to his room, and I'm just going to tell you, I was toe to toe with the devil. And I said, you can't have my son. And that night, I know there was something that was taking place. That was on Friday night. I don't know if I should say too much, but Friday night, on Sunday morning, he appeared at my door. 6 in the morning, his clothes are hanging off of him, 130 pounds. And he said, Mom, will you pray for me? I said, yes, I'll pray for you. Come in. Hadn't seen him in 2 weeks. And he had actually done meth and was coming off of it. He had been in the hospital Friday night when I was praying. And they didn't give him help. Then he went to the hospital Saturday night, and he didn't get help. And then Sunday morning when he came to us, I took him to the hospital, and his heart rate was way too high, and he got a Jewish doctor that was like, got in his face, and that was the beginning of some change and some turn. But sometimes we don't trust ourselves to know things, but the Holy Ghost will get it to you. And that's what I love about him, is that we can trust him to get it to us if we're listening. Amen? If we're open. We don't have to walk around carrying any heaviness. And I know a lot of us are believing God for specific things with our families and our children. But we can stay in that place of faith and assurance, knowing that the Holy Spirit is working on their hearts because we put the Word in them. And the Word is still working in them. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost never gives up on us. Amen? He never gives up. And so that spirit of intercession fell on me for Hayden that night. And then my mom, when she found out she had cancer, I don't know, it's been 25 years ago. It was when we were on staff up in Ohio. We went in to pray, and there was a spirit of intercession that fell on me. And just, I couldn't even hold myself up. It's like it just overcomes. How many have had that happen? It's just amazing. And it's, but it's a beautiful thing when you can give way to that spirit, to the Holy Spirit, and pray out the plan of God on the behalf of somebody else. It's a beautiful place to stand in the gap for someone. So what it may include is compassion. It includes a prayer burden. It includes sighing and groaning and travail. Romans 8:26 talks about it. Tears or strong emotion, and it's a persistent prayer. It's not just a quick, you know, whatever prayer. It's very persistent, and you can't control it. You can't control it too much. So, but that's, and then the last one is the prayer of worship and praise. And I love You know, when we worship and praise isn't a way of praying. It's a way of offering up thanks. There's a way to worship. There's a way not to worship. And we have to be careful in this right now. There's a lot of music right now, a lot of worship, quote, worship music that is pointing to me, myself, and I, and all the things that I have labored and gone through, and all my burdens and all the things. And I think we have to really be careful. We are very careful about songs, and every so often we have to go back over them and kind of look through the words and say, wait a minute, are these faith-filled words? Are these redemption words? Are these words of life that talk about what Jesus has done, his redemption? Because it's a done deal. We don't have to wait on things. He's already redeemed our life from destruction. He's already set us free. We're not begging for something. We're not pleading for something. We already can step into that place and thank God. Amen? We don't have to have remorse and condemnation over our past. And I'm so grateful for that. That's religion. If you're feeling heavy and weighty and feeling bad about your past, and there's some kind of spirit of heaviness going on and a spirit of shame and rejection, that is a religious spirit trying to attach itself to you. And I would say today, be free, be set free in Jesus' name, because Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen? We don't have to be bound to that stuff. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. So I had one other thing here. We've got 7 minutes. So I want to is this good? Are you guys good with this? All right. My cheerleader on the front row. Okay, so let me look here real quick. I wrote a couple other things down. So is this helping you? All right. And of course, we know when we pray in the Spirit, y'all know, we pray out the perfect plan, the perfect will of God. I'm so thankful that we can do that, aren't you? And it also helps build us up in our most holy faith. It brings rest. It brings revelation. I like it when I'm, you know, even on the way here tonight, I was praying in the Spirit, and I was like, Lord, I'm just praying out the plan right now, and you're going to just fill my mouth and do what you want to do when we come together. And I'm so thankful for that. I don't know if I can find what I was looking for. I wrote so many different, I verbalized all these notes on the way here. Aren't you thankful for all this advancement in technology? Maybe. That's Levi. Levi's here. All right. Yay. So, I know a lot of us are believing God for specific things in our lives. I want to encourage you. There are specific ways you can pray. Don't just pray the same way over everything. I explained that tonight. There's specific things that you need to pray, ways of praying. So prayer is not begging. Prayer is the believers exercising their legal rights in Christ. We have a legal right. Amen. We have a covenant right. We don't come as a slave. We come as a son and a daughter. We come based on what Christ has already accomplished. E.W. Kenyon said this, prayer is a courtroom of heaven activity. You stand on Scripture as your legal evidence. Isn't that good? Prayer as fellowship. He emphasized the highest form of prayer is not asking but communion with God. Isn't that good? When we get beyond the asking, we just get into that place of communing. You know, when my husband and I are away from each other, we like to call each other a lot, or he likes to, I'll try to FaceTime him, and I was FaceTiming him the other night, and I was laying on the couch, and I was trying to show honey, Poppy, you know, and so I'm laying on the couch, so she sees that I'm laying, and he's laying, so she comes around and lays down beside me, because she wanted to lay too. She wanted to have that same position. But, you know, I thought about it when she was doing that. I thought, there's a position that we can take with our Heavenly Father when we're communing with Him. Amen? It's a position of rest. We've already been positioned at the right hand of the Father. It says we're seated at the right hand. And when I'm seated, that tells me that I'm not standing. I'm seated. That means I'm resting. It's a place of rest. I'm not having to be begging and on, you know, on guard. It's a place of rest. So anyway, I had some other things. So how many have got some answers? You've got some specific things. So how many know how to pray the prayer of faith? Yes. How many know how to pray the prayer of consecration? When you are, you pray, if it be your will, there's some things in your heart. There's some things, some direction you need to go towards. You pray out the plan of God. You say, Father, if this be your will, like Jesus did, if this be your will, Lord, I'll do it. You know, he said, take this cup from me, if it be your will. Of course, he knew it wasn't, but he offered that up. That was part of his prayer and his supplication. Prayer of consecration, prayer of worship and praise, a prayer of agreement. I think these are so amazing, and we don't want to play the game. We don't want to play our life game the same with the same rules. We've got to do it with different ways of prayer. We don't mix it up in one bag and shake it up and say, well, whatever. You know, we pray specifically. I believe this is why some people don't get answers to their prayers, because they're attempting to do it the wrong way. I know Dad Hagin talked about this. He talked about how he believed God to be healed. Y'all know he was healed of a heart issue, and he prayed and prayed and prayed, and people would come in and pray, and they'd say, well, if it be the will of the Lord, you'll have it. And I think he was raised Baptist, and then another person came in and said, well, God doesn't do those things anymore. Well, that's not the will of God. That's not what the word says. And he said he had a quickening, a voice on the inside that actually told him the scriptures, Mark 11, 23, 24, and he got a hold of it, and he said, I can have this. It is the will of the Lord. Found the scriptures where it says that healing belongs to us now, and he stood on those things, and he grabbed a hold of it with his heart. There was a revelation on the inside. That's why you've got to have the word as the foundation of whatever it is you're believing God for. You're not just grasping and reaching in the sky for some wishful thinking. It's based on the word. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So when you find out what the will of God is for your circumstances, then your faith will hook up to it, and you can stand with confidence. What does the scripture say about, what is that scripture? In confidence, what is it now? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember it offhand. So it's a place of rest for us when we stand in this assurity, knowing that we're praying out the plan of God the way we need to do it. We're not just grasping at things.